Numbers, chapter number 32. While you're turning there, I'd like for you to stop and think about something. This is October, and we're almost halfway through it. Matter of fact, what is today's date? 16th? Well, we are halfway. And, you know, we got 2.5 months until it's the new year. I haven't even hardly got used to writing 2000. I'm still sometimes thinking about 19. But, actually, I have that down pretty good. But it's time just goes. Have you noticed that? And the older I get, the faster it goes. So if you think that I'm a slowpoke, not at all. I am Speedy Gonzales, because it's flying by. But anyways, I just thinking, you know, it's a great time of the year to reach others for Christ. And you know, when folks come to our church, there's a number of things we ought to do. One is we ought to make everybody feel welcome. Amen. Don't make him feel welcome. And so this Harley dude, he comes bopping in here, and he's got his leathers on, chains hanging out of his pockets, and maybe out of his ears and everything else. What are we supposed to do? Well, you're weird. You know what he's thinking? You're weird. Do you understand something? Because somebody might look a little different than us, they're just like us. They're people. They're folks that need to be loved. They're folks that just need us to say, hey, it's good to see you. Excited to see you. Amen. I'm amazed, you know. Today, one of the things I find is some folks have all these tattoos on them. I honestly don't understand, but they have all these on them. And in some regards, to me, that's repulsive. Please don't misunderstand me here. But in some regards, that is. And I think, why? But you know what? Underneath that skin is a person just like me. Amen? Yeah. They probably think my clothes are weird. And, you know, that's all right. How we just need to love people the way they are. Make them feel very, very welcome. By the way, you don't do that by looking at them strangely and not saying anything. I may look them in the eyeball and say, hey, it's good to see you. And shake their hand, whatever it takes, you know. Don't be a wallflower. Don't be a wallflower that just says, well, I'll let somebody else do that. And how many of you ever went to a church and nobody shook your hand? Yeah, you done that? All right, if somebody comes here and nobody shakes their hands, whose fault is it? Yeah. So it's not somebody else, it's our own fault. By the way, a few of you, I missed you this morning, so I didn't get your hand shook, but you know, I didn't see you guys this morning. I was over here messing around. They told me I was supposed to be in choir at 5 minutes till. What a bummer. They told me I was late too. How are you this morning? You're doing good? Amen. How are you? She's looking at me like, he's not weirdo. Good morning, Jen. How are you doing? It's all righty. And you? You doing all right? Okay. Is he treating you okay? You guess so? Okay. We don't need to preach at him today? A little bit? Okay. We'll work on it. How are you guys doing? Good. And you? All right. Who else? Your brother? Okay. Who else did I miss more? I saw you guys come in, but I didn't shake your hands. You guys doing all right? All right. Amen. Just, hello, Martha. I didn't hug you this morning. You feeling neglected? No? Okay. I'm going to tell you why. She's got other guys that hug on her. That's the way it works. All right. Amen. All righty. Amen. If I missed you, I'm sorry. I'll get you at the door. By the way, there's something I really like doing. I don't know why I do it. I know some places they probably don't. We've got one way out unless you sneak out one of these doors. By the way, if you go out that way, make sure you get it shut because they don't like to shut real good. Don't go out that one. There's mud out there and there's snakes and all kinds of things out there. You don't want to go out that door. Okay. But I love standing there and just greeting people. Once in a while, I get done with a message. I think, oh, man, nobody wants to talk to me. And that's the way it goes. So, amen. It's good to see you this morning. All right. Donovan, good to see you. How you doing, bud? You selling any cars lately? Are you? Really? There's a car salesman. He's an honest one. Hey. He sold me a pickup 18 years ago. It's still running, won't stop. The brake lines all rusted out. I don't know. Yeah, I sold my son a Cavalier that's got 300 and I forgot 70 some thousand miles on it. And he's going to run it till it dies. And I don't know what he's going to do then. Sell it to somebody like a junkyard. Did I tell you where to go this morning? I didn't mean that in the wrong way. Now, book of Exodus. No, Numbers, chapter number 32. Book of Numbers, chapter 32. After all that nonsense. That wasn't nonsense, by the way. It's very real to me. To be able to be around people. I enjoy that. I'm not an outgoing kind of guy, but at the same time, I love people. And it's fun to be around people. It's fun to watch people. You know what's even more fun? Watch people who are watching people. Yeah. Now, if you really want to make your life complicated, watch people who are watching people watching people. That really is interesting. Oh, it gets worse. I mean, you can just go on and on. It's like a mirror going back and forth. How to discourage the brethren. How to discourage the brethren. That's the message this morning. Before we begin in Numbers chapter 32, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for a time we can gather together. And oh God, how wondrous the music this morning, to be able to sing together, to raise our voices together in unity and such meaning. Lord, I don't know how many times I've sung that song, more about Jesus, and yet this morning it spoke to me. And how we need to know more about you. Oh God, open our hearts and our minds, our being to your word this morning. That which reveals you, that which allows our hearts and our minds to behold the Almighty God. And Lord God, help us to learn valuable truth. This morning as we look and hear how you want us to learn some valuable truth about each other and how we can, rather than discourage, encourage the brethren. Lord, we all know as we sit here that this old world's discouraging. We know as we sit here that this is a dangerous place in which we live and seems to be getting worse. And so, oh God, that we need that encouragement one for another. And oh God, that you might work in our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers chapter 32, if you would please. I'm going to begin in verse number 1. You no doubt know the story. It says, now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Eleale and Sheban and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Gadesh Barnea to see the land. And when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle, and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel, until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return into our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. And Moses said unto them, If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again. Lord, I just feel very compelled to seek you again and ask you for Thy Holy Spirit to minister, not only through me, but to me and to each one here. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. In 2012, 3.5 million evangelicals stayed home and didn't vote. Those votes could have changed the course of the last 4 years. And perhaps not had the polarization we have seen under this president. I believe it may have also paved the way to a more sane election this time around. In just 3 weeks, we have a chance to pick a candidate that is more likely to establish judges that will either be for life or against life. And I mean life in the womb. But not only that, but also one who will stand for personal protection. I refer especially to the Second Amendment of the Constitution, as well as supporting those who seek to protect us, and I think specifically of our sheriff and police departments throughout our land, as well as our military. And to seek to have religious liberty preserved in this land of the free and the home of the brave. We have a choice to make. Even if a few are fooled by the media, by the way, you need to quit listening to what they're telling you. You need to stop and realize that there are things going on that you are not being told, and that you're being told things that are not going on. We need to wise up in this nation of ours. But we need to stop being fooled by them and take away this I don't care attitude concerning all of these things. For we are very close to a totalitarian style of government that may handcuff Christians even more than they are now. But it's an example of how a few can affect so many. This morning, the very beginning of our service, as Jeff is leading the songs and we come to the close, he says, let's do that chorus once again. And the reason, because you stand here, you look right straight back, and Mrs. Smalley is sitting there. And while that song was being sung, she raises her Bible. It so impressed him, he had everybody sing that song again, and everybody else raised their Bibles. One person started that. It's amazing the effect that we can have upon others, is it not, if we stop and consider it? As we look in our text this morning, I find that so few can affect so many. As we go to verse number 6 of chapter 32, and allow me to read it again, and he's referring back to a previous time, and Moses said to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye set here? Are you going to allow this to take place? Verse number 23, the last we read, he says, but if ye will not do so, in other words, if you're not going to go with them, he said, ye have, what's the word? Sinned. Ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. And so what we find from the Word of God, we find that God is teaching us something very, very profound here if we will allow Him to do so. If you're a good Bible student this morning, one of the things you must always do when you study a text is study within the light of its context. You do not just take a verse all by itself and begin to explore it without looking at the verses around and to notice some things concerning what it's all about within its context. I mean, 2 + 2 is good, but what's good is 2 + 2 if you don't have some apples or some candy bars? I mean, think about it. And so within the context, that makes even greater sense. And so you and I this morning, as we look here, I want us to notice a couple of things I believe are very, very important. I'm going to take you to verse number 1, and we'll take you to verse number 4, and I want you to see something I believe is very important as we look at this tribe of Reuben, this tribe of Gad, and what just about was to take place or could have taken place had Moses not confronted them, the sin that would be upon their hands, the fact that the whole nation of Israel could be set back, yea, another 40 years as it had been previously. He wants us to understand some things. And notice here in verse number 1, he says, children of Reuben, the children of Gad had very great multitude of what? Cattle. A great multitude of cattle. And so here we find some people who are wealthy in livestock. And it says, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was what? A place for cattle. Now we know from the Word of God that they had been well instructed in where they were to go as far as the promised land was concerned. We know from the book of Leviticus, he said, ye shall inherit the land. I will give it to you a place to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. He says, I am the Lord your God which have separated you from other people. When we get the book of Numbers, we find that the spies went in and it says, we came to the land where thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This is the fruit of it. And they brought back the grapes of Eshcol. And they said, listen, this is the land that you've sent us into. This is where we're to go. And yet we find the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, they make a decision that is not based upon their previous experience, what God had said to them, what they had been taught, but they're going to base their decision rather upon their own desire, upon their own selfishness, as they say, this is a place for cattle. Do you catch it? Verse number 4, notice again what it says. Even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. When our priorities are controlled by our passions, we are choosing second best, and we're not experiencing the fullness of God's joy. God proposed for them to cross over the Jordan River, to go in and possess the land, and here's two tribes that are saying, no, we want to be on this side of Jordan. This is good enough for us. And as a result, we find that Moses must come and say, listen, if you're going to stay here, you're going to discourage the brethren because of your wrong priorities. Because they chose selfishly, they were accused of the same sin as the 10 spies 40 years earlier at Kadesh Barnea. What was that sin? The sin of discouragement to the brethren. Take your Bible, please. You can hold your spot there. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. And I want us to notice here, this is nothing new this morning, but emphasized once again, because I believe that in this United States of America, we have a great problem amongst God's people. We look at and we say, well, the problem is government. We look at and we say, the problem is education. We look at and we say, the problem is economics. And I say to you this morning, the problem in the United States of America is selfishness on the part, not only of the other peoples of this country, but of God's people. Let's notice chapter number 10. And go with me to verse number 21. Chapter number 10 and verse number 21. He says, "And having an high priest over the house of God." That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have the wondrous privilege to come boldly, as mentioned in our Sunday school lesson, to the throne of God. We have that privilege to come boldly to that throne. Why? Because we have a high priest there. And we can come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Having a high priest over the house of God, he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." He says, because of that, let's draw near. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Now notice, he gives us a conjunction here. And the conjunction is "and." It's closely connected. He said, "And let us consider" who? "One another." To do what? "To provoke unto love and to good works." Do you see it, brethren? What's he saying? Let's consider each other. Let's not be selfish-minded. Let's consider each other. We might provoke unto love and to good works. In other words, we might encourage others to go in the right direction. Did you notice the little marking at the end of that verse? The word "works" is followed by what? It's a colon. A colon is a little mark that says you need to really understand what is about to follow is an explanation. This is going to help you, he said. You need to understand here that this is something that is going to explain this farther. He says that we might consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And what does he say? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Oh, I find that interesting. He goes on, "For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Interesting, that is put there as well, and we could go on. But let's stop and look at this for a moment. What was the problem back in Israel? There were two tribes said, "No, we like what we have right here. We've got all this stuff, and we've got this spot here, and we are very content to stay right here all by ourselves. You 10 tribes, you go ahead and go across the Jordan River. We're staying here. This is our inheritance." Moses said, "Hey, listen. That is not right. That is wrong. And it's going to discourage the hearts of the rest of the Israelites." And he says to them, "Shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye set here?" He says to them, if you're going to do this, he said, "You've sinned against the Lord." What's he trying to tell us? He's trying to illustrate for us what it says there in Hebrews chapter 10, and that is that you and I have an obligation to each other. We ought not to go to church for selfish reasons. We ought not to be there for selfish motives, though we will gain greatly for ourselves, but it's not what we can get. It's what we can give that matters. It's an opportunity to minister. For me to come to church most of the time is to give biblical truth that can change hearts and lives. I know what this book says. I know the truth of it. And I know that it can change your life if you will listen to it. And so week after week, I seek to preach those truths, hoping that somebody grasp onto some of this and they allow God to do a work in their life. But do you understand this morning? It's not just for me to come and to minister. It is all of our responsibility. For we can provoke each other unto good works. I could go around the room and I could point out some especially who are very encouraging to this preacher. And they do things and say things and make comments about this or that, or they do certain little things that brings tremendous encouragement. There are certain folks, I mean, when you come to church, man, you are glad to see them because they encourage your heart. And they have some good word. They have something to offer to another. Now, I realize that some come and they're always looking for the problems. By the way, I can even get excited about those folks because they can point out to me the things that are wrong. I hope there's not too many of you like that. But anyways, you know, we have a tremendous possibility there if we stop and look at it. And folks say, well, we just got to go to church today. No, it's not a matter of, we got to go to church. It's a matter of, hey, we have a privilege and an opportunity to minister to other folks, to be a blessing in their life. And so often because of selfishness, what else is it? If it's not selfishness, because we want to do something else or be involved in something else, that we do not have that thing taking place in our life. How we need to have a priority on our possessions. We ought to realize the possessions of good friendships are far more important than anything else. The possession of family. You know, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my blood family and my blood-bought family. And I look at them just about the same. And it's a tremendous, wonderful privilege that you and I have as we stop and consider here. What was the problem? They were more interested in their possessions than they were the other people. They were more interested in doing their own thing than being a blessing to the rest of them. And Moses must call them into question and speak to them very, very heartedly. I want you to notice also, very short really, I think, and a simple message this morning, not only the priority of possessions, but I want us to notice the potency of the promise that he makes to them in verse number 23. This is a promise. If you will not do so, in other words, if you will not go with your brethren, if you will not stand with them, you will not stay with them. If your stuff is more important than being with your brethren and fighting the battles together, if you will not do so, behold, ye have what? Sinned against the Lord. And what does he say? Be sure your sin will find you out. I believe God takes our treatment of the brethren very seriously. Very seriously. The Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. Four of those commands have to do with our relationship with God. Matter of fact, when the lawyer came to Jesus, he wanted to know what the greatest one was. And Jesus summarized the Decalogue. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all thy mind, with all of thy soul. And then he said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And when Jesus looked back at those commands, he put them in two categories. And what he was saying was this. He was saying that your relationship with God and your relationship with man are most important. It's not about your stuff. It's not about this or that or the other thing. That is what is important. Life is not about what we can ascertain in material wealth. By the way, life is not about sports. Sports can be helpful. Let me time out parentheses, big Christian. Christians need to quit teaching their children that sports are more important than God's local church. If you didn't hear that, let me say it again. Christians need to quit teaching their children that sports are more important than God's local church. We need to understand that you and I being together is much more important than playing a baseball game. By the way, if God's people would stand up in these areas and quit doing it, maybe they would change the schedules. Amen? It sure got quiet in here. It might be a little embarrassing at the front door today, but that's all right. Listen, our fleshly indulgences are not going to make it. It's a matter of you and I realizing it is God and the people He puts into our lives that is important. The Reubenites and the Gadites became covetous, and we often do the same thing. And we relegate God out of our lives, seeking our own way, doing it our own way because we think we know better. And oh my, the situation we get in. At the heart of the American dilemma right now is Hillary and Donald. That's what most folks think. But really at the heart of the matter is not who's going to be president. It's can we control the lust of our own soul? Can we begin to put God first and others second? We must see that our rejection of His way is a great sin and repent. We must accept His prescribed way. Brethren, this is true in salvation, and it's also true for the believer that ends up with second best and becomes a discouragement to the brethren. The last thing that I want to have happen to me or want myself to do to somebody else is bring discouragement to a soul. You folks have so many things you got to deal with, oh my goodness, throughout the days and the weeks. I mean, you have all the temptations of your life. You have the pressures of your work life. You have pressures within your family. You have all of these things. And the last thing you need is for you to be discouraged by the brethren. Now, sometimes we need a good swift kick in the pants, don't we? Yeah. And in one sense, this message is a good swift kick in the pants because some of you are not following and you're doing exactly what these Reubenites and Gadites were doing. You're neglecting your brethren. And listen, your sin will find you out. But by the same token, you need to be an encourager. You say, how do I do that? Your very presence. Yeah. Your very presence becomes an encouragement to somebody else. Believe me, you miss and somebody notices. And somebody is struck by it, and it's hard in their life. Let God have His way in this thing. But let me back up just a second here. Let me back up just a second. There is something that is so needed in our lives, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what's missing in so many lives? How old are you? You're 14. What are you?
10.
You're 10.
11.
11. Do you know 11-year-olds need Jesus Christ their Savior? 14-year-olds need Christ their Savior. You know why? Because you've sinned against God. What are you now, about 33? You're 20, are you? You know, according to the Word of God, 20-year-olds in Israel, it was time for them to go to war. They were in war. Boy, isn't that exciting? Yeah. So somebody comes intruding your house, you better protect mama, go to war, okay? Somehow I think you might. Okay. That's security, amen. You got two big guys in the house. You beat them up when they come. She says back, says, shake them.
She's the security blanket.
She's the security blanket. 20-year-olds need Christ. I was a year younger than you when I accepted Christ as my Savior. It's the great need of the hour, amen? I would dare say in this room there's somebody that needs Jesus, their Savior. You might even be a church member. You may have attended here for a long time, but it's not been a reality. It's not been real. So, well, preacher, I said my prayer. Did you really trust in Him? you really put your trust in Him? Let me ask you, if you trust in Him to take you to heaven, do you trust Him to take you across the street? You know, we say we have faith, but we don't believe God for a lot of other things. They sang that special today, God's always taken care of me. I look back through the last 50 years. You know, God didn't always put steak on my table. That was an amazing thing. You know that? When God didn't put steak on my table, I had this great love for beans. They were cheaper. It was interesting. In days when I couldn't afford to buy a half gallon of ice cream to eat, ice cream with chocolate, it doesn't matter what flavor, what flavor of ice cream, as long as it's got chocolate, it really makes it good. How many are chocoholics? There will be a meeting after church tonight, Chocoholics Anonymous. But there were a number of years I couldn't afford to buy ice cream. It was an amazing thing. I'd say, Christy, go pop some popcorn. I just had this real longing for popcorn. Then when I had enough money to buy ice cream, I lost an appetite for popcorn. That's amazing. Tom, have you ever lost your appetite for anything? God's always supplied it, amen? Isn't that neat? God takes care of it. What I'm saying to you today is we just need to trust Him. If we're not trusting from day to day, are we really trusting for eternity? Interesting thoughts. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much today for time together. Lord, I'm thankful today for the encouragement that these folks bring to me as I can look out at these wondrous number of faces. Lord, we know some that are not with us today in other places and traveling. And Lord, it leaves a little empty spot in our hearts. But Lord, I pray that you might help us understand how important we are to each other. Just our very presence. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not very useful. Sometimes we think we don't have the right words to say. And sometimes we don't know what to say. But really, sometimes, Lord, all we need to be is there. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I pray you might bless and help us to realize that it's a sin not to be a blessing to our brethren. It's really a sin as we come to church just to gain for ourselves, not to come to minister, to be that blessing to somebody else, to give them that smile, that handshake, that encouraging word, whatever it might be. Oh God, how we need that in this day and time. And I pray, oh God, as we go from this place today, we might go encouraged. And oh God, I pray for any in this room who don't know Christ as Savior. I ask you, oh God, you'd just reach down and touch their heart, that it might be real to them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you to stand where you're at. As Christina plays this morning, the altar's open. If God has spoken to your heart, if you need to be saved, maybe you need to be baptized. You haven't followed the Lord in that. Maybe God wants you to join with us in fellowship. Whatever it might be, let God have His way. Amen. Good to be here this morning. Tonight, I guess we'd have a potluck afterwards, but by the way, prayer meeting at 5:15. We meet right in here. Just lately been splitting up and small groups, and just come and join us for that. We always have it is a great time to pray corporately. There's just something about that. You say, well, man, if I pray, people hear my prayer. Yeah. And my next two words is, so what? Why should we listen? We ought not be ashamed of our prayers. If they're out of our heart to God, amen. It might not sound like somebody else's. It don't matter. It really don't matter. And my father-in-law, bless his heart, he's with the Lord now. I love to listen to him pray. He had a little bit of a stutter in his voice. Couldn't always talk and get words out good. Very, very plain man. And what he said is what you got. Hey, God's not interested in flowery speech. Amen. And just come and pray with us. And, just make your request known to him. And it's just neat together. Secondly, there is a second. What was it? Oh, tonight's message. I'm going to be dealing tonight, unless God changes this afternoon. I'm going to be dealing tonight with, this is going to gain me points. Halloween. And I'm going to deal with that just a little bit tonight. There's just a few things you ought to consider about that and think about. I'm not going to condemn anybody. God does all that stuff. I'll just show some things from the Word of God and share some thoughts that I hope will be a help to you. Because we're living in a day of paganism. Did you know that? I mean, it's not about God anymore. Out of 300 million people, there's only 80 million that even claim to know God at all. And that's astounding. That's way down from when I was a kid. And so we're a minority today. And we need to look what really is the culture's all about and understand some things. And anyways, we're going to look at that tonight a little bit. It's interesting. So, amen. Don't wear your mask tonight. It might not go over well. Oh, well, that was a joke. You could laugh. All right. Amen. Are you ready to go home? Anybody hungry? Vicky, what do you got ready at your house?